All right. Welcome in to a dash of DFS episode number one. This is a Toilets to Title production. And with me, everyone's excited, man. The crowd is going wild in the background right now. I don't blame them at all because it's more Toilets to Titles content. We have it for you. The football season is right around the corner. I mean, it's here. Minnesota, Ohio State last night. We got Virginia Tech versus North Carolina on the TV today. Tomorrow we got Miami versus Alabama. Doesn't get any better than this. LSU, I think, is playing UCLA. Like, things are good. Things are very good. So let's all be happy and excited. Again, it's Dash of DFS. We're going to be coming to you live every Thursday. We're going to be going live around 7:50 up until kickoff. Right when NFL kickoff Thursday Night Football happens, boom, we're getting off because we know we want to watch it just as much as you want to watch it. So we are going to carry you over to the NFL Thursday Night Football kickoff. With me this evening, right next to me, my co-host on this show this season, Mike Dirty Jobs at Dirty Jobs 21. Mike, what is cooking?
What is happening, man? Very exciting. You just said a bunch of stuff about football, and it made me even more excited about football. I think it's like a combined energy, kind of like a snowball. Starts off in about June 20th or so. I'm like, here we go. We start rolling down the hill. Now we're just this ferocious boulder ready to take out buildings and towns and things like that. I'm ready for some football.
Yeah, ferocious boulder ready to take out buildings and towns. That's about right. Until like the Cowboys go 0-2 or 0-3, Dak Prescott gets hurt, and then that ferocious snowball melts and lay on the ground plastered. But you know what? That's why DFS is there. If my fantasy team stinks, guess what? I can hand it over and I can focus on DFS. All right, with us tonight and this season, we got a recurring guest from Two Tickets to Fantasy. That's Joe Rachi. Joe, what is happening?
Thanks, man. Love being here. Cannot wait. We're 1 week out from the Bucks and Dallas next Thursday night. Just setting some lineups. Got my first draft right after this tonight. So I'm representing my go-to fantasy team name, Vandalay Industries. And ready to talk some DFS as we get ready for the season. Can't wait.
Awesome, man. Awesome. And thanks, Joe, for coming on. Thanks for helping us with this episode and with this show this season. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've been talking in the background for about a month now, getting this thing prepped and this thing planned. And finally, it's no longer just putting pen to paper. Like, this is real stuff. We can put it out there. And football is in a week, baby. It's a beautiful thing. So the ways you can listen to the show – all right, we are on Apple Podcasts. We are on YouTube. We are on Podbean. We are on Facebook. We have two Facebook pages, Toilets to Titles, and When a Family Breaks. We're going to try to find a way to combine those so we don't have two anymore. Let's just make it one. But When a Family Breaks is we buy, sell, trade sports cards and memorabilia. So get in there and you can check that out. We're also on Spotify. Regardless of how you are listening, it would be greatly appreciated if you would go to our YouTube channel, which you could find through our Twitter, our Toilets to Titles Twitter. You can find it on there and hit the like and subscribe button on our YouTube page and the episodes, all that good stuff. Also, if you have Apple Podcasts, it would be greatly appreciated if you threw us a 5-star review. All right. Especially if we're helping you. If we're helping you win, you know, let us know. Let prospective listeners know that we've been helping you out. Maybe they'll come in here and they'll get helped out and then we can all eat. Me and Mike were talking before the show, man. We all need to eat. And that's what we're here for this season. We want to win everybody money. I don't want it all for myself. I'm not a greedy guy. Let's all eat. If you're listening to this show, plates full, tables full. We eat, our families eat, and we enjoy this season. That is what it's all about. All right, check out toiletstotitles.com. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/toiletstotitles. Tier one is $3 per month. It gets you into our group chat on Discord. We have people in Australia. We got people all over the world. We are 24/7 available. All right. If you got a trade offer, 1 o'clock in the morning, you can't go back to bed until you make a decision on that. You can throw it in the Discord chat. Hey, guys, this is a trade offer that came up and we will get back to you and we'll let you know. And then maybe you can use that to make a decision. That is $3 a month. Discord, that helps us. It helps you. $5 a month is tier two. It gets you into that chat, gets you into Frankenstein next year, and gets you early access to our waiver wire episodes that Justin Stevens is going to be recording. And I believe by like week three, those episodes are going to be Patreon only. So if you want those waiver wire episodes that go out Monday night, immediately after the Monday night football game, like, you don't have to wait till Tuesday. You don't have to wait till Wednesday. Justin is going to be recording it right after Monday night football. And everybody on the Toilets the Titles team is going to be throwing guys in a dock and saying to Justin, hey, talk about this guy. Talk about this guy. This guy needs to be picked up. And I'm going to say, you know, Eric's wrong. That guy needs to be picked up, but my guy is a higher priority. We're going to put all that in there. Justin's going to discuss it so you guys can help your rosters. And finally, tier three, $10 per month, gets you one-on-one roster analysis from anybody on the team, gets you free entry into Frankenstank next year, gets you into the group chat on Discord, and gets you access to those waiver wire episodes. So that long-winded intro is over. All right, the offseason is over. Football is right around the corner. So I think to start this episode, because it isn't yet season's, you know, next week, and next week we're going to be setting all of our lineups. But I want to get some background on you guys, how you play DFS. So, Joe, you're right next to me here. How do you play DFS? What is your platform of choice? And, you know, what's some of the kind of the strategies, the way you set your lineups and all that? How many lineups you set a week? So let's hear that. I think you're muted, my guy.
There's literally books on this stuff, and I certainly wasn't the one who wrote any of them, but just a strategy around, you know, what types of contests, how many you do each week, how many there's quite a science to it. I've been playing FanDuel and DraftKings. I've also been looking at Stat Hero, which is a newer one. I want to really dig into that this year. They kind of started on the best ball last year and caught my eye as best ball is kind of ramping up and getting hotter and trendier, but been doing FanDuel and DraftKings, and I love the versatility that is available. You know, I think we're going to talk a little bit about doing like that single next Thursday night game, you know, the kickoff, everybody's excited. Don't necessarily want to have to wait till Monday morning or Sunday night to see some cash, to see some results. So you can do those single games. I like that. But then once you get into Sunday, you know, the main 1 p.m. millionaire maker, if you're on DraftKings, whatever they're calling the millionaire contest on FanDuel, always do a little action onto those. But the only uniqueness I feel like what I kind of do versus, you know, the people I know is I like those big tourneys. It's your shot to hit big. If you find lightning in a bottle, you have that perfect lineup, can win some life-altering money. So I'm always up for that. But, you know, I like to be on the plus side at the end of the week. So what I'll do a lot of times is I'll hit those big tourneys where you need to have that great lineup, but I'll supplement that with a lot of like double ups, you know, $5, $10, $20 double ups, 20 people in it, the top 10 double up their money. You know, they got those 10 people where the top three pay out head to heads. So I'll do the smaller ones because what I've found over my 10, 15 years of doing this is a tourney team might take 175 points to place and to win you money. But if you're doing those 20 people or those smaller contests, you probably win with 140 and 150 points. So, you know, depending on your platform. So to me, it gives you a little bit of buffer. I'd like to think I get hot in the middle of the season. I do okay. But, you know, there's usually your one hiccup in the lineup. And I feel like those smaller lineups and those smaller contests allows you a realistic opportunity to still cash without having to, you know, really hit it on every single player. So I try to tote the line between the bigger contests and some of those smaller ones.
How many lineups would you say you play a week?
So the 1 p.m. main slate, I'll probably do two lineups on each platform. I'll dabble with some 4 p.m. stuff, but then after that 1 p.m. slate, I'll really turn my attention to the primetime games. So you'll have a contest where it's the Sunday and the Monday night game. So I'll do a lot of that. And then I will do those single game ones also, which, you know, people get a little cynical about those single game ones. They'll say, well, everybody's going to have the same lineup. You know, both DraftKings and FanDuel, they put a championship lineup spot there, which means it scores a factor of 1.5 or two times the regular scoring player position. And that gives enough differentiation between lineups to where, you know, you still feel like you can be successful in those.
Awesome. Right on. All right, Mike, how do you play DFS? What are the sites you use? How many lineups would you say you put in there? Do you have any specific strategies? Let's hear it.
So actually it's exactly like his, you know, my strategy is the same exact thing. I'll get into a few of those big dogs. And then just cause like you very rarely, I mean, if you cash in those, it's fairly rare. And when you do cash, it's usually pretty low. Why you bullshitting? None of us are millionaires here yet. So like being realistic. So, I mean, but I do like the $10 ones, the $20 ones, just the double ups, maybe the like I like to do like the dollar single entries when like on 150 entry, things like that. I play on FanDuel mostly. Like I said before, I think I should start this conversation with, hi, I'm Mike, and I'm a Fantaholic, because I also do Monkey Knife Fight. I do Thrive. I do DraftKings. I do Yahoo Daily. I mean, I try to do almost every single one of them. Now, when I say I do those, like, I'll probably give, like, 3 out of 5 of those a shot each week, because I only have that so much time, and I only want to pay attention to so many things. And especially if, like, say you start talking about lineup shifts, because I always like to make sure I have lineups that I can change. You know, if I have like a real low shot, I want to go grab a couple receivers in the afternoon that have some really good high upside or things like that. And so when I'm doing that, usually I'll set a couple primetime lineup heads up, things like that. On average, I would say I set about 20 lineups a week, but that's a smattering across all three platforms. Any given three, like I said, in any of those three, it just depends on where I have money or what I want to do with the money that I have in those.
Right on. So I would say generally, you know, I do most of my play on DraftKings. That's the format. I'm like pretty OCD with things. So like when I get comfortable or I get in a routine, I tend to stick with it. You know what I mean? Like it makes me feel safe. And if I'm gambling, I want to feel safe. You know what I mean? And I don't want to have my money spread out. Like I want to win in one place. So that's kind of the way I play. Like I keep it in one home, and I've gotten comfortable with their settings and things like that. And I probably play like 5 to 7, but what I tend to do, I like to set like 1 or 2 full week, Thursday to Monday lineup. And you know, I like to let that ride. Like that's probably my biggest. I set that Thursday to Monday. That's probably the one where I'm going to do like the biggest payout, you know, the biggest buy-in, the biggest payout, my Thursday to Monday. And then generally I'll do like a Sunday all day slate, and then a Sunday 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. to say there's like 3 games or 4 games at 4, and then the Sunday night. And then I'll do like a prime time Sunday morning and Monday morning as well. So, you know, I probably play, I would say, you know, 5 to 7, but you know, so I have another question. You guys, when you set your lineups, I'll start with you, Joe. When you set your lineups, do you find that you put the cheaper guys in first? Do you like to find your value buys first, and then after that, see how much money you left over and put in the big names? Or do you like to go big names first and then try to find value?
Yeah, I definitely go quarterback first, and then I have an idea of who I feel like for big names is who I want. But I also, you know, on a Sunday morning at 11, you know, the backups that are starting. So, you know, I'll have in my head, oh, you know, what's his name? Tony Pollard's, you know, Ezekiel Elliott's out, Pollard's starting. He's really cheap on both sites. So I know I want to get him in, and then I'll kind of fill in from the back end after that. Right, but I was going to ask you about the Thursday to Monday. How do you handle questionable guys and game time decisions when you're filling that lineup out on a Thursday?
I'm sorry, what was that?
How do you handle when you're doing the Thursday night for the full slate all week? How do you handle all of the good players that on Thursday for a Sunday game are questionable in game time decisions? So if you have a Thursday running back that you like, but at the same time, so many of them are Sunday, you don't know what their status is. And I know you can switch it out, but how do you tackle that?
Man, I don't know. I guess it's probably a case-by-case basis. I could say, though, it's never something that really stresses me out. Like if I'm uncomfortable with starting a guy, you know, I won't. But if I basically know if I'm going to take a risk on a guy and he's questionable, and, you know, because luckily there's only one game Thursday. Right. So I don't have to worry about it too much. You know, like the meat and the potatoes is Sunday. Now, if there were 4 games Thursday and say I had to start a guy at running back Thursday because I wasn't comfortable with the guy I wanted on Sunday, it'd be a little difficult. But, you know, it hasn't really been too much of an issue for me, again, just because Sunday is where most of my players are. You know, sometimes I'll put a player or two from Thursday night, you know.
Yeah.
Between the two teams, you know, like
a lot of times when you see those lineups, people will stack them with the Thursday games. I think just because people are so excited come 8 o'clock on Thursday,
which can almost be
a competitive advantage for, you know, somebody who's got a little more even keel about the week.
Yeah. So I'll find like, I'll start the week maybe a little heavy on Thursday, and then I'll weed it out. But I can tell you this, like I'm starting Antonio Brown week 1. Against that Dallas secondary, like the plays are going to be Godwin and Evans and even Ronald Jones, I'm hearing buzz about. But I'm going to tell you this, I'm starting Antonio Brown against Dallas next Thursday, hands down. You know, and I might even go with Tom Brady just because that offense is going to, you know, Tom Brady's going to be priced pretty high. You know, he's probably going to be top eight at that position group, but I don't think Antonio Brown is. But all right, let's carry this over into some of the players. Well,
real quick, can I just add something on to that real fast? The one thing I can say about that is anytime I see like a major shift happen like that, the ownership on that thing is going to be so high, I don't probably want anything to do with it. Like, let's say, like, in the instance that you're talking about right there, where we got Tony Pollard, right? And Ezekiel Elliott's out on Sunday. Tony Pollard's at 4,500. Everybody's going to buy him. You're going to see that ownership percentage be peaking around 70 to 80%. I don't think the return value is there. I'm likely going to stick with my same lineup. So that's where I'm like, I love watching Thursday night football. I hate Thursday night football for fantasy purposes. I cannot stand it. I don't even get into it because it's that throws my whole week off. If I start cold, I have a miserable last weekend until Monday. If I start hot, I'm cocky. And then when my team does terrible on Sunday, I start crying on Sunday night. It just never ends bad, never ends well for me.
The quality of football sucks on Thursday night too, but I'll watch it every week they give it to me.
Actually, like I said, I will watch Monday morning football. If you give it to me at Monday morning, I will watch it. But like I said, I just don't like the fantasy aspect of it. That's the only
stresses
thing.
Me out. Thursday night games stress me out when it comes to fantasy. They stress me out big time. Man, you said Monday morning games. How about we start a petition for an early Sunday morning game every week?
Give me all the time. I love that.
London game?
Give me a 9 a.m. game every week.
Yes.
Every week.
Yes. That's
it. One
bacon and football.
What's that?
I said bacon and football.
Yes.
What more do you want?
That's it. Because the buildup to the 1 o'clock game, it feels like seconds just drag.
Yeah.
Seconds and minutes drag. Give me a 9 a.m. game just to carry me over. I'm making breakfast. I'm getting stuff. I'm still getting stuff done around the house, but I have it on in the background, honey. Like, take it easy. Like, give me that, you know, because I can't get anything done anyway between 9 and 1 p.m. because my head is there. So just give me one. NFL, one game, 9 a.m. every single week. I mean, you added a complete another week to the season. You could go ahead and change the schedule and add a 9 o'clock game. And, I mean, what else is on Sunday at 9 a.m.? You're not competing with nothing. You're getting all the views are going to go directly to you. But, all right. Enough about my plea for Sunday 9 a.m. Matt came in here and said the coach is looking smarter all of a sudden. Thanks, Matt. I got the specs on, man. I got my specs on this evening. All right. So, guys, I want to talk about some players that we think are going to be early season buys that are going to be their cheapest right now that are going to take off after the first few weeks. So, Joe, you got a list of a few guys. Why don't you go ahead and read those off to us?
Yeah, and I'll tell you, man, I will be the first. I will take advantage. Never root for an injury. I will take advantage of them all year long, every week. And, you know, I'll start with James Robinson right there in Jacksonville with the Entman, whatever.
ETN.
Entman's, whatever it is, you know, with the injury there, you know, and the way Robinson was last year anyway. It was kind of a travesty that he was going to lose a lot of touches. Now he's going to get those back, hopefully with Lawrence, you know, a real quarterback now. They got some weapons on the outside, hoping that that offense is at least viable enough where you can count on Robinson to, you know, DFS, get you through on a week. He's going to be cheap at the beginning of the year. If it's a regular league, hopefully he can act like a number two, number three running back. And I'll go right to Baltimore. Secondly, you know, our good friend, my good friend, we've all had to stream him over the last couple of years. Gussie Edwards is back in the fold. You know, it's sad. Dobbins, just like the Akers injury in LA, sad injuries, up and coming guys who looked really good last year, looked like they were going to take those jobs over. But give me Gus Edwards. He catches the ball. He's on the field all the time. He's the security blanket there. They feel very good about him, even the last couple of years with competition. So he's going to get goal line carries. So those are the two cheap running backs right off the bat that I'm looking at. From a wide receiver perspective, you know, CeeDee Lamb, and I don't know if we're going to consider him very cheap. He certainly, I can't say he's a sleeper necessarily, but he's fairly priced for week one. And with Prescott back, I think CeeDee Lamb's ready to break out.
I would say I think there's a portion of the world who isn't like us, who isn't sick like us, who aren't, you know, involved with social media, don't, you know, like their world doesn't revolve around football. And that's probably a decent sized percentage of the people who play these games. You know what I mean? So it's not just us. It's not just our community. So I think there's some people out there who are just going to start playing fantasy week one. And then the season is going to be their story of, you know, who are the players to own and blah, blah, blah. So CeeDee Lamb, I think there might be a percentage of people out there who aren't yet aware of how great CeeDee Lamb has looked this summer, you know, and that he's emerging and evolving. So I think, you know, I don't think he's a sleeper, but I do think he's going to blow up. Like he's going to be DeAndre Hopkins price level, you know, midseason, CeeDee Lamb, DeAndre Hopkins, same breath.
Yeah. Kind of like how Metcalf started last year and how he ended is what I'm, you know, best case scenario for him probably.
Okay. All right. You got any other guys you want to go ahead or?
I'll say, you know, the last one in week one, it's tough, right? We're all reading the same info about preseason, but the Sony Michel trade for the Patriots, it just makes you feel like Harris is really well positioned to be the bell cow there. Now they're going with the rookie quarterback, obviously with Mac Jones. So you're kind of seeing the type of offense they're going to want to run with the two good tight ends that they signed. So Harris, I'm feeling like, and I've always been a big James White guy fantasy-wise. Like when you're in a pinch, you need a guy that's going to get you 10, 12 points. I love me some James White in a PPR specifically. Flex. Yeah, exactly. But Harris, I feel like, is now positioned to get those 15 to 20 touches, including red zone carries there. I'd keep an eye out on him.
Right. So Bill usually like zigs when you think he's going to zag.
It's so aggravating.
And with a rookie quarterback, I am trained to think what helps a rookie quarterback, a running game. So the world is thinking Bill Belichick is probably going to be run heavy. And I expect that. But I also wouldn't be surprised if Bill Belichick zigs when we think he's going to zag. And now he's pass heavy. Like, that would be very Bill Belichick to come out and do that with a rookie quarterback, throwing the ball 30 to 40 times a game, because we would not expect that. Miami's not going to expect that week one. They don't really have the wide receivers to do that, but you don't know. But now some of the guys that I think are
you can, season buys. You can always tell it's preseason because people are into New England running backs. It's like, I like running backs from New England. And then like week three, you're like, oh yeah, no, I'll never do that again.
Right. Well, plus the other
Belichick next year,
the other Belichick factor too. If Harris fumbles week one, you could forget about it. You
right. He'll be on a bus by week two. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
So get yourself some in regular fantasy, get yourself some Ramondre Stevenson shares because he's going to have about 3 or 4 weeks where he's just going off. But all right. Some of the guys that I'm buying early on, and one of them is Sam Darnold. Carolina, first week, it's a revenge game against the Jets. He's on DraftKings, he's going for 5,000, which has him at the 26th overall quarterback. Sign me up. You got Robbie Anderson, you got DJ Moore, and you have Terrace Marshall. And then you have Christian McCaffrey, who could take a 2-yard dump, you know, 80 yards to the house. You know what I mean? And that's not a Toilets and Titles plug when I called it a dump. I mean, a dump off. All right. So just a little pass there. All right. But Sam Darnold is a guy like, I'm very interested to see how he does because with those wide receivers, I think he's going to just fall into top 15. I mean, he's priced at quarterback 26. He's going to be top 15, I just think, you know, throughout the season. You know, and there's going to be weeks, I think, where Sam Darnold's going to be, you know, creeping top 10. So I think this is a guy who's going to ascend. You said James Robinson. You know, I think, you know, Gus Edwards and James Robinson, I think in our circle, right, in this community, I think there's a lot of people who are onto them. So I think they might be heavily played, but he's priced at running back 13 against Houston, and Houston is awful. So even if everybody's playing this guy, he's going to be a running back one, and he's priced at an RB2. Raheem Mostert. People are forgetting about him. They're already on board with Trey Sermon. This guy is good for 8 to 10 games of running back one production. I'm not going to
expect busts out big runs.
Yes. I'm not going to expect anything more from him than that. All right. So Raheem Mostert's priced at running back 19 week one for 5,800. I said he's Raheem Mostert is here for a good time, not a long time. All right. So everybody get on board. Let's all have a good time with Raheem Mostert as our running back. And then Laviska Shenault. I was hoping my jersey came in. I'm a Cowboys fan. I love me some Laviska Shenault, man. I ordered a jersey last week. I was hoping it came in. It's going to be my dash from DFS jersey this season, because I really think this dude is just going to explode with Trevor Lawrence. He is going to explode. Percy Harvin with Urban Meyer was an absolute problem. Laviska Shenault, I don't think he's as twitchy as Percy Harvin, but I think he's more built for the NFL than Percy Harvin was. And boy, can this dude run. Can he run after the catch? He's got good hands. He could take the top off the defense. And with Trevor Lawrence, it's going to be a show. And he's going against Houston week one. And Houston is absolutely terrible. My question is it safe to start two Jaguars? Is it safe to start James Robinson and Laviska?
Maybe week one, in that matchup. And I think you're right. And Shenault, he started showing it last year with no quarterback whatsoever.
Yeah. Go back, like his film at Colorado, like I say it all the time, man, like it was elite. He was elite. Finally, my final two plays, I like T. Higgins from Cincinnati early on. Again, I think people are going to be thinking Boyd, Ja'Marr Chase. I don't think people are going to necessarily know who to start, but he's the guy I'm starting. He's priced at wide receiver 41, so he's real cheap. If you want to throw a star out there, if you want to start a guy like Christian McCaffrey, you can start T. Higgins at 4,700, make some of that money back. And then Kyle Pitts, tight end 8. I know the world is buzzing about Kyle Pitts, but he's priced at tight end 8, and he's going against Philadelphia week one. Their secondary is awful. Like that, both teams, that Philly, that like, all right, if you want to set a lineup from one game, that Philly Atlanta game, give me Calvin Ridley, give me Jalen Hurts, give me Kyle Pitts. Like, let me just load up this lineup guys from this game, because it is going to be a shootout. Nobody's playing defense that game. So that's the guys I'm starting. What are you guys' thoughts?
Yeah, that game, I agree. And, you know, one of the things about the strategy of how you make your lineup is people do the stacks, right? And I think it's what you're talking about right now. You know, if you feel that good about Ridley and Atlanta scoring, you know, not that you want to start Matt Ryan, but, you know, the right quarterback wide receiver combo, maybe it comes out of that game. Mike Davis, I think, is going to have lots of touches and red zone carries in that game also. To your point, the Philly defense, even in the preseason, has looked disastrous.
Yeah, I have zero Mike Davis. Zero. So I'm interested to see. Like, I'll be watching. I have no idea. I have no expectations for Mike
Davis. He was hard to ignore when he started last year in Carolina.
We'll see, man. I mean, somebody, maybe he's going to be successful for somebody, but it won't be for me, because I just don't know how to value the guy. Yeah. I don't know how to value
him. I like him more DFS on a given week after he's proven himself versus going out and taking him with a fifth round pick tonight in my league draft.
Yes, that's the great thing. Like, I can wait till week two to start somebody. I don't have to start him week one. I don't have to buy him week one. I can wait till he proves something to me. And then go ahead and start him. You do want to be ahead of the curve. That's why we're mentioning guys here that we think are cheaper now than they're going to be. So get ahead of the curve. Get these cheap guys now before they're expensive or before they are more expensive. So, Mike, I see you got some players here as well. So let us hear some guys you were going after week one.
So me and you are along the same lines of thinking. Like, as you can tell with the guys I'm talking about, the guys we've all been talking about, I've got like Trevor Lawrence, Raheem Mostert. I really like James Robinson, but I think he's going to be a heavily owned dude come week one, because I think a lot of people are going to see that. Me and you were talking before the show, and I was saying I think this Houston Texans team might very well be the worst football team I have ever seen. And I'm not even saying that like mean, you know, I mean, I just do not see a time or a place where those guys can put any of those things, those pieces that they have together to combine for any kind of competition. I think it's like a Mike Tyson versus five-year-old. They're going to be teeing off on the face of the Houston Texans all season long.
Man, and that wasn't mean. That you were not being mean saying that they suck.
No. I was being mean when I told them they were a five-year-old and Tyson was punching them.
I mean, if you're saying it kindly.
Yes.
You're being blunt.
And I'm saying it because I'm just like, wow, what have they done to that team? To where, I mean, like, oh, let's bench Deshaun Watson. I mean, I understand, like, everything that's going on there and everything like that. But at the end of the day, you want to put together a team that wins football games. I feel like sometimes you got to bite your pride and go with that. Two guys I'm paying up for, and that's, you know, a lot of things that's something that not a whole lot of people talk about is who they want to pay up for.
I like it.
I think that we have Calvin Ridley that has a pretty high price tag. Again, That Philly defense is almost as bad as the Houston Texans, but not quite. And then Dalvin Cook, I think, is going to have himself a day against that Cincinnati defense. So those guys are really, like I said, really high pay, but they're going to give you the high return that I think you're going to be looking for. Other guys, like, so I didn't have Higgins. I had Boyd. I feel like Boyd's going to be a premier guy in that game. I got Corey Davis because I am a Corey Davis truther and Corey Davis believer. I think he's going to – and I think Zach Ertz comes back with a vengeance as well. I think Zach Ertz is going to get himself some points this week or next week, whatever. And then the defense, like the one thing I think everybody keeps on looking at that offense of the Patriots, but Bill Belichick hardly did anything to that offense this year. I mean, granted, we had a big quarterback shift and everything like that, but the line's essentially the same. The wideouts are essentially the same. The running back situation is still, to me, is still muddled, but I do really feel like Damian Harris is coming out as quite the front runner there too. But again, preseason, we are wrong. I can just tell you by week three, I'll tell you we were wrong when we said this week. But that defense, he has really stacked up that defense that has been really nothing but fire for the past few years. And they're very disrespectfully priced. Granted, $4,400 when we're talking about a $5,000 usual cap, maybe $5,200, $5,500 on the hotter defenses. But $4,400 for the Pats defense right now on FanDuel, to me, that's a no-brainer. I think that defense is going to be what you watch in New England this year. I think if that offense is going to be very slow, I think it's going to be very methodical, really long third downs, really long third down drives, really long drives. They're going to contain the ball. And then when you get on the field, they're just going to shut your ass down with defense. And I think that's how they're going to play. And that, because that's how Bill Belichick wins football games.
Tight ends, running backs, and defense.
Well, they got the tight ends. That's for sure. You make a really good point. If you guys don't mind, I want to bring something up. And we're talking about like how people in our circles, the diehards, think about something fantasy related versus maybe the more casual. But a point you brought up about paying up, because people in our circles are always infatuated with the $4,000 score, right, for DFS. Who are the cheap guys? Give me the $3,000 running back that's going to do it. Give me the $1,800 tight end. And that's great. We all have that infatuation. You need it. You need to hit there to make some money. But to his point about Dalvin Cook, and people don't pay enough attention, like, everybody's going to have the cheap guy because you're going to then build your lineup with your Mahomes, your Tyreek Hills, your Dalvin Cooks, your CMCs. But there's a lot of science there, because if you pick CMC for $10,000 over Dalvin Cook and Cook goes for $30,000 that week and CMC only goes for $18,000, that's no good. That's no good. So right. We always spend 90% of our time on the analysis for the cheap guy, but you're just as screwed if you get it wrong at the top. So I think it is really important to look at the Cooks and the McCaffreys. You got to make the right call there. Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill, they're both going to have good weeks, but if there's a 10-point difference between those two, you got to be on the right side of that if you're talking about being successful in these big tournaments that everybody
absolutely wants to win.
I think that is definitely an important topic. So I have this is what you're going to look for this season, in season. All right, we're going to talk about Thursday night football players, the Thursday night game, who we're putting in our lineup. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about quarterbacks to fade, and we're doing a dash of DFS, a little DFS magic. So this segment's called You Shall Not Pass, quarterbacks that we're fading this week. All right, then we got non-quarterback fades of the week, and then Mike, you just gave me the idea. Guys, we're paying up for. Who are we paying up for this week? Riding the wave, players who are on a hot streak that we're going to keep playing until they cool off. Diamond in the rough, those lower ownership plays. And then we're going to tell you the lineups we're playing. So we're going to be right to the point. We're going to get you loaded up and ready. I'm actually going to give you a lineup right now. I set my first lineup of the season. So before we wrap this thing up, I'm going to let you guys know my first lineup. So I stayed true to my word. I got Sam Darnold. I got James Robinson, Raheem Mostert, DK Metcalf. I paid up for him. Laviska Shenault, T. Higgins, Kyle Pitts. I paid up for Justin Jefferson. And then I'm starting the Broncos defense against the Giants. So Darnold, James Robinson, Raheem Mostert, DK Metcalf, Laviska Shenault, T. Higgins, Kyle Pitts, Justin Jefferson, and the Denver Broncos defense. So hopefully win me some money. If you guys got some money in your DraftKings account, play that lineup and then reach out to me in 2 weeks and let me know if you won and how well we did.
You're going to kick your own ass if, like, you and five other people split that $1 million. Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's what
again,
we're
doing, though, man. Everybody eats. I love it.
We can split that $1 million. There's a seat at the table for all of us. We're going to stack that table. It's going to be a Thanksgiving feast. Someone from Facebook, I'm not sure who it is, says, can't wait for you guys to win me some cash. Let's all win some money this season. So, guys, we're going to start saying our goodbyes. Go check out ToiletsTheTitles.com and know this. Today's episode was brought to you by Primetime Sports Talk, your top source for all major sports content, including DFS, fantasy advice, and great gambling tips. Be sure to head to PrimetimeSportsTalk.com to check out their in-depth analysis, exclusive articles, fascinating interviews, and explore the rest of their amazing podcast family. Again, PrimetimeSportsTalk.com, your go-to spot for sports content. Check out ToiletsToTitles.com. Throw us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. We have 8 shows this season. Tuesday night, we're going to have our regular Toilets to Titles show, which is an hour-long fantasy football show. That's going to be at 8:30 p.m. Wednesdays, we have Joe Knows. He's going to have a recap. I think that's around like 7:30. And then after his recap for the past week, we're going to have Dollars to Deuces, which is a gambling show where they're going to talk. Nate and Rich are going to talk about games you should be betting on, where you should be placing that money. Thursday night, we are going to be coming to you live. And then Saturday night, we got our Australian buddies Down Under Dynasty at 7:30 p.m. Sunday morning, we're going to have a cup of Joe where Joe's going to discuss the Sunday game slate. And then Mike right here is going to be on with Alex at 10 a.m. on Sundays. It's going to be a call-in show, all the start sits, any questions you have going into the Sunday kickoff. So, man, Toilets to Titles, get involved.
And Justin. Don't forget Justin. He'll be there with Justin's us too every morning. Yep.
Justin has a lot of experience on the Blitz, so he's ready.
He's ready to roll. He's what made this union happen right here is that Justin, the glue. Justin's the glue.
For real, man.
Suck me in.
Justin is the glue. So, guys, Joe, for you, for Mike, we're all signing out. We will catch you all later on. I know we're going to get through this week. We're going to get through this week. We got 1 week to go. All right, so take it easy. Don't get yourself in any trouble. Sit back, stack those dollars, deposit that money. Let's win some cash. Catch you all later.
Hey, man.
Thanks, guys.